This is a presentation, as I said, from the Learning and Collaborative Technologies Group based mostly in Moncton. Group leader is Rod Savoie. Includes members such as myself, Stephen Downs, Rita Kopp, Chunky Rugby, Bruno Limon, who's in Ottawa, and Guillaume Durand, who's in the room with you. Those are the researchers. We also have developers. We have Jason Hines here in the room with us. And we have Todd Bingham. We also work with Luc Bellevaux. We've worked with Serge Leger on and off, and various other staff at NRC.
Learning and we have Jean Francois Lapointe in Ottawa, too.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't know he was there.
That's why we have to do work to corroborate the technology.
And Hélène Fournier right next to me.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. It's been a very active group. We've been off and on over 10 years working on learning and collaborative technologies. Right now we have three major areas of focus. One of them is the Immersive Reflective Engagement Trainer, IRET project, which is one of several things we've done over the years with Department of National Defense. We've also got the Synergique project, which Guillaume will be talking to you about after this presentation, and then the current project, Personal Learning Environment Project, or PLEARN, which I'll be talking to you about now. The idea of the personal learning environment is to produce a set of computer programs that allows a person, and I'm on the second slide now, as you see, allows a person to access learning, information, training, research, and other resources wherever they may be on the internet, and therefore involves coordinating access to a series of different pieces of software from a single centralized environment. This diagram that you see here was created by Scott Wilson of JISC. He and I and a number of other people developed the concept a number of years ago, and there have been several projects over the years devoted to PLE development, including our own.
Stephen asked me to take over to talk about the next slide. As Stephen mentioned, this might not necessarily, this PLE-based learning might not necessarily be in an educational institution, so it is the learner that is at the center. And learning might take place in a circular motion. You would start at the top of the diagram with an experience, or somebody might be involved in an activity, aggregate information, and it triggers a reaction to plan and document, manage a learning activity that the person might want to communicate or share with somebody else, might reflect on that, and that makes, somebody might produce something and make sense of that activity, publish it and receive feedback from somebody, and that might make that they evaluate the learning activity, and it's an iterative process, really.
The PLE that we've designed is based on a combination of six major components, and you can see them diagrammed for you here. First of all, a personal profiler to take care of personal information, logons, and other individual properties. Second, an aggregator to retrieve information and resources from across the internet. Third, a content editor to allow the person to edit the contents of their personal learning environment. Fourth, scaffolds, and we'll look at these in a bit more detail in a bit, but they're basically platforms in order to provide learning around the resources that are shared online. Third-party services, fifth, in order to provide access to remote services such as simulations, discussions, groups, and other applications. And then finally, sixth, tying these all together, a recommender system that is aware of the person, their profile, their activities, the resources that are available locally, and the smartphones that they use in order to present the right resource at the right time. The intent is to eventually have a set of applications based not only on a server, but also on the desktop with mobile access or widget access. So the personal learning environment really isn't an application, but rather an environment in which you run other applications. The idea here is that, and I'm on the learning network slide now, the idea here is that an individual working with a personal learning environment is connected to a network of other individuals, registries, P2P services, and other third-party services, thus creating a mesh of services and resources. Next slide.
To research this, we've taken a design-based research approach, and if you look at the top, there are three different phases in that: a development phase, evaluation, and a dissemination phase. And it also shows the research methods that we've chosen and the different types of design that BF used. And I've put a high emphasis on the learner experience design, as it might be that the learner doesn't use any educator, so it's the software itself that will have to make that a person ends up learning at a deeper level, so the experience is pretty important. The dark blue left-hand column shows the different parts of the research. We started with the background, which involved the literature review, surveying of super users, which would be high technology users who would also have an interest in education, to establish what type of components actual users might want in the future. Then there was a whole phase of developing of the innovation, an iterative process of design and development. It was usability testing, or that is, we are starting that at the moment, and educational research that involves three case studies of different learners, different types of activities and scenarios.
As part of the research and development process, we launched a number of online courses following a model called Connectivism. And basically, these online courses are courses that are taught in this connected, distributed environment. And you're seeing on the screen in front of you a model of one of those courses. And as you can see, it does not look like an ordinary course, but rather consists of a set of distributed resources across multiple locations and services online that are interconnected with each other. The first of these courses we launched in 2008 attracted 2,200 people and thus sprung forth the name of the new type of course, the MOOC, next slide please, or Massive Open Online Course. And it is this model that we've used in order to test the assumptions of the personal learning environment. And Helen and Rita, in particular, were involved in intensive study of one of the MOOCs that we offered in 2011.
Yeah, that was a course on the personal learning environments, networks, and knowledge. There were over 1,600 people, and from a research point of view, it is, I wouldn't say it's a headache, but it is a complicated thing to do, because of course the data isn't only in one place, it's distributed over a lot of applications. For instance, people produced 3,500 Twitter messages. If you want to get to the heart of what people actually said, what they actually did, you have to grasp for different research methods than observations or surveys. So we used analytics methods, visualization techniques to see how people interacted, how people communicated, how people linked with each other to find out, perhaps who the important actors on the networks were, who would be the people who connected with other networks. And on these diagrams are from Twitter, for instance. How many people retweeted and what happened in the retweets? Would people distribute links? Would there be new knowledge coming into the course network or not? Just to give you a flavor of what we actually did.
Now I'm showing you on the next slide some of the application itself. And this is what we call the Explorer interface. This would be a typical opening screen, perhaps a bit blander than typical because most of the pages are HTML resources, or I should say more accurately, HTML web viewing scaffolds. But the idea here is that when a person opens Plurn, when a learner or a researcher or a practitioner opens Plurn, they're presented with an interface of a number of the most frequently used, or again, more accurately, most highly recommended web resources. And of course, they can go in and search for or find more and different resources. Next screen. Here's the same interface, but now with some of the functionality more visible. On the left-hand side, you can see the recommender in action. This recommender is context-aware, and so when I change which resource I'm looking at, the list of recommenders changes in order to follow that resource. The recommender is also, as we mentioned before, profile-aware. On the right-hand screen, we see elements of the social network in which the learner or practitioner is embedded. We've got a couple of social networking applications highlighted there, one of which is the Twitter interface, the other of which is a third-party chat application. A bit below, you can't see it because it's a little off the screen, is the list of people who are online and recommended by the recommender as relevant to whatever the person is looking at right now. Next slide. Here we see the scaffolds themselves in operation. What you see there with the diagram in the center is one of the scaffolds. The idea of a scaffold is that we can take the same data set or the same bit of information and represent it in different ways, as though through different templates, but where each of these templates is not simply a template, but a full application intended to support one or another learning function. So the learning in the personal learning environment is supported through these scaffolds. Here we're looking at a graph and tree scaffold, but at the top of the screen, and you can sort of see there's a drop-down panel that is shown up there, we can see other scaffolds through which we can view the same resource. For example, a Wikipedia scaffold or an edit scaffold, a scaffold related to the competencies associated with this resource, an edit plus scaffold, and then the little arrows would take us to more scaffolds. These scaffolds, again, are recommended based on the personal profile and the resource that we're looking at.
Okay, can you go back to the previous slide?
Yep.
So the recommender, the underlying logic and engine in the recommender is that a person, a specific person, is undertaking a certain task, learning task represented by the middle screen there or the scaffold that the person is using, the actual resource the person is using, and the information we have already stored in our data model. So next. So different types of queries could be...
Previous slide, please, Sandy.
Yeah. Different types of... previous one. Yeah. So different types of queries could be triggered for recommendations. Here, just to give you a conceptual representation, everything is a resource in our data model. So we analyze the different types of data. We are we have an aggregator that aggregates a lot of data from different sources, input by the user, and from the analysis of that incoming data, we create actually granular entities, we call them, that represent standalone entities that could be reused in different contexts. And for each one, we create the different relationships that link these different entities between each other. So an entity could be a person, a source, a document, a video, anything. We have a set of entities that we defined at the granular level. Different recommendations conceptually could be fired depending on the context we talked about in the interface. And it uses that underlying data that has been stored in the system to make recommendations depending on the context. Next. So the data, mainly what we created is we analyze all the incoming data and the data from the user. We create the different entities, which are nodes here in our graph, and we create different types of relationships linking to the different nodes. These relationships are made or created so we don't lose the information when we analyze down the different incoming data. We don't lose that semantic information that came with the information. It's a weighted graph. We have a number of strategies to adjust these weights. And the recommendation process, mainly what it does, it filters down depending on this topology and the focus or the current document being the center of the learning activity. Filter down the different resources, then we have different algorithms to score them, to give them a notation depending on that the context of that query. We sort them, and we return back a set of recommended resources that are displayed in the left-hand panel on that interface.
Final slide, please. Oh, and it's not there. So to summarize, with the different skills and research results, we have the knowledge to design and build knowledge, learning, and resource networks of distributed practitioners and learners in a given domain or discipline.